your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. We're going to talk a bit more technicals and have a bit more of a focus here on the precious metals as I am chatting with Richard Postma, a.k.a. Doc. Now, Doc, for all our new listeners, hey, you're one of my favorite technicians and widely followed on our site for your more broad outlooks, I think, when it comes to metals, trying to ignore all this day-to-day noise and especially ignore that gold bug narrative that is always trying to say that gold needs to be moving higher. And you know what? Let's start with gold, because the trading action over the last, let's say, about 8 to 9 months has been very important. When you and I were talking about 3 to 4 months ago, we were noting how gold was consistently moving higher on a monthly basis. Now, just about 3 months ago, gold was on a 5-month run of closing the month higher. And technically on that last month, July, it made one of its biggest moves. That's when gold reached over $2,000. But now these last 3 months, whether we're looking at August, September, and October, October looks like it's going to put in a red candle for this month. That'll be 3 months in a row. Doc, what does this all mean? Playing the odds, understanding that runs don't last forever. Do you think this downward trend, these 3 months down in a row, will finally put an end to this downtrend in gold?
Yeah, I think it's encouraging, Corey, and you're right. Back in the first part of August, we had that spike at the beginning of August. And I had mentioned that if that continued, we were going to have 6 months in a row of closing highs. And that's highly unusual. And then it reversed and actually closed down for the month. And that was one of the indicators that told me we were getting close to turnaround for this precious metal market. Now, as you mentioned, if we don't have any massive move this afternoon, we're going to close down for 3 months in a row as far as a closing low. And that's encouraging because the move down has not had any massive swings. And that tells me that we could be consolidating here, but we may be consolidating for a while. Now, I don't think November necessarily is going to be a great month, but I think we're setting up for the end of the year or into the first part of next year for a little bit move higher. So that would be encouraging. And the gold stocks and the silver stocks on whole have just gotten beat up again. Which right now is a great buying opportunity. We're reaching the point where I'm going to start buying again, adding to positions, waiting for the next move up. So, also what's interesting is I had mentioned a while back that the MACD was approaching the highs back in 2011 and 12, but that we price-wise, we took out the highs of back then. And that's not unusual because the MACD will probably not get as high as it was. And you often see that in charts where in a long-term rally, you won't go as high, but the pricing will go higher. The encouraging thing about the monthly chart is that this one of the major strength indicators that I follow, which is the ADX, the black line, which is a composite of the green and red lines, which are bullish or bearish, that has a room to run yet. So this move higher might not be over. I'm sure a lot of people are starting to wonder, but it's got room to run higher yet to even get close to the 2011-2012 highs. So that is an encouraging sign, potentially, Corey.
Yeah, you know what, Doc? One thing to consider, too, is that gold is off of its highs, but it's still trading right around this $1,900 level. And quite frankly, it needed a correction, and this correction hasn't been nearly as devastating as some of the other technicians have outlined, or even some of your lower levels. But when it comes to the gold stocks, right now, gold stocks aren't even really following the gold price. They're more following the markets. And that goes hand in hand with the dollar that is at a relatively low level. A lot of gold followers have been looking at the dollar and saying, look at how weak the dollar is. That's good for gold. Quite frankly, the major relationship to pay attention to here has been the gold stocks, I think, to the underlying U.S. equity markets. When we see strength in markets, gold stocks have done okay. We see weakness, gold stocks get sold off, very similar to what we saw this week in that shock on Wednesday, I believe it was. What are the relationships that you're watching here, Doc, when it comes to gold, gold stocks, to the dollar, U.S. markets, and anything else?
Yeah, the gold stocks and silver stocks moving lower right now, as far as I'm concerned, have nothing to do with the dollar. They talk about, oh, the dollar strengthened. Well, it's hardly strengthened at all. So I think we have parted company with the dollar right now. And it's more a function of just the general market tone right now, I think, more than ever. And if you look at weekly chart on GDX and GDXJ, is we have a little bit more weakness here for a while, I believe, because the MACD is still quite a ways above the neutral, but it's heading down toward it. So I like I said, I think the gold market in November will probably not do much. But we should be in position with both the gold market and the GDX and the GDXJ charts as far as weekly, the weekly outlook. We ought to be in pretty good shape by the end of November as we move into December, potentially for a move higher in a new trading range.
So, Doug, your comment earlier that gold stocks are entering or closing in on an area where you are attracted to buy them, I'm starting to think the same thing, too, in the sense of, look, a lot of these gold stocks have sold off, especially the juniors. They're going to have some catalysts coming up, and that could help move the price higher. However, I did have a conversation with John Kaiser earlier this week, and he outlined just how many shares are coming free trading in the market over the next couple months, really to the end of the year. He outlined through May and September, there was $2.1 billion worth of private placements done. In the middle of October, he did the pricing. That $2.1 billion was worth $3.8 billion. That, to me, means there's going to be a lot of shares hitting these markets selling-wise because of the fact people are going to be taking some profits and riding these warrants. How does that affect the time frame of when you think these stocks are a true buy?
You know, it's interesting he said that, Corey, because that almost correlates with what I'm seeing on the charts. That's interesting that he talked about that, and I was unaware of that, by the way. Plus, you have tax loss selling season coming up. So it kind of goes hand in hand with what I'm seeing technically, especially on the monthly charts and on the weekly charts. So I think, and I had mentioned that we wouldn't be challenging the highs until, and this was back in August, I felt we were going to reverse and not challenge the highs until December or even into 2021. And I think that's going to play out. We're not going to see the highs in this until, I think, or challenge again until 2021 now, based on what I'm seeing. So we're going to have some weakness going yet into the end of the year. But that's okay, because the positive thing is on the weekly charts, we're going to start to get more in line with the 200-week moving averages, which we left behind back in August considerably. And that's another reason I was getting bearish back then.
Doc, I also want one more comment from you regarding GDX and GDXJ. It's something I was pointing out this week on a lot of interviews, the low volume. You look at a monthly basis and October and even going back to September last month, we're seeing the lowest volume in GDX and GDXJ dating the whole way back to 2014. It just shows the lack of, well, investors putting new money or even rotating money within the sector. What does this tell to you?
Yeah, in fact, if you go back, you can go back to almost 2013. And in fact, if it drops more, we're back to where we were in 2012 and 2013. That's phenomenal. And we may start to see that, but that's going to set us up. And that's why I said months ago, you're going to have to be patient in this bull market, because it's going to be stair steps. And that's what we're seeing, Corey. And it's hard if you're an investor, because you just sit there and watch your portfolio going up and down. Now, if you were somebody like Excelsior, who does more day trading, you can trade out of some of these at higher levels, make a profit, and then wait and buy back at lower prices. But I don't like to do that sort of thing, because often you lose out on major moves. But you're going to have to be very patient here. This is a market, bull market, that I mentioned quite a while ago, that will be ongoing, I think, until 2025 at least. And so it's going to be a stair step here. And this volume loss in GDX and GDXJ just tells you that interest has dried up here a little bit.
Yeah, it really does. But hey, when that interest comes back, hopefully these companies are coming out with news and drill results to help move these stocks higher. Let's wrap it up here, Doc, with your thoughts on the election. It's what I spent most of the first two segments talking with Trader Vic about. What do you think is going to come out of this election? What really matters for the markets as well?
I'll say one thing. I think the polls are way out of whack again. You've got to look at what's happening in individual states that are swing states and other states. Trump, you know, once again, has to run the table a little bit here. But I think already Texas is looking very strong for Trump. I don't see a problem there. I think Florida, some interesting data there. If you look into it, there are two strongholds, Democratic strongholds. One of them is Miami-Dade County, and then there's Palm Beach. And right now, when you look at early voting, Republican voting in Miami-Dade is actually ahead of Democratic voting. That's unheard of. And if that continues, and Palm Beach, he's competitive there, and in Broward, he's doing better in early voting, and that does not bode well for the Democrats in Florida. And I think Trump will win Ohio, and so it's going to be Arizona, North Carolina, and the industrial states that are going to determine this election. And and the other thing that's very interesting about this election is the fact that the volume of people voting this year, back in 2016, I believe, approximately 136 to 138 million people voted. But based on early results, I think you're going to see close to 150 million people voting. And you've got to ask, who are these new voters? And the last point I'll make is, I think Trump will do better with Hispanics and African-American voters this time around. That may be the shocker. And so it's an extremely interesting election. And whoever wins, I don't think it's going to impact the precious metals markets that much. Initially, Corey.
Initially. Okay, that's a key point. You know what, Doc? I'm sure we'll spend some time talking more about this when that election is finally behind us. But hey, Doc, great having you on the show. Thanks again for taking time on this weekend show. Have a great weekend.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.